person and online. Also, Oregon's commercial Dungeness crab fishery opens December 16th from Cape Foulweather, just south of Depot Bay, to the California border. Rain is expected through this afternoon, a temperature in the upper 40s as well. Tonight, rain and 44 for a low. I'm Ashley Claiborne with News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, I think we got everything here ready to go. How you doing, Mike?
Well, I don't know. I'm watching you push all those buttons, and I don't think anything's happening.
Nothing like waiting to the last second to do it, huh?
Yeah, of course. And you never taught me how to do it. Well, no.
Come over here.
No, I'm not going to go over there. Well, welcome to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And if you have questions, you can call 673-4464 as we talk about different types of plants and landscaping and all the other things that are ancillary to the make your yard beautiful business. I'll have some answers for you, and any question is good, and I will give you the correct information, and you will be a success in your gardening endeavors. So anyway, since I sold my nursery, well, it's been a year now. Yeah, I sold it a year ago in November 4th, when we signed the papers. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of weird. Really, after 50 years in business, you go, what am I supposed to do now? I don't know.
Yeah, what do you do?
Oh, I come here every Wednesday. No, I'm giving, I still give consultations, landscape consultations, and that's a little bit of what I'm going to talk about
today.
Yeah. And I still draw master plans. People want, advice, but they want a plan that they can do bit by bit as they have the time and the money, etc. So that's good. I like to keep my hand in it that way and not waste a 50-year career that I built up. So anyway, like I say, I'm currently doing consultations, and it's it's very enjoyable. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do. And basically, when I get to the client's house, I ask the client, well, what their vision of their yard should be, or how do they want it to be, or do you have any specific questions about certain plants or that kind of thing? And they start, we just have a conversation, and then we walk around the yard and we look at each little area that they're concerned with. And of course, most folks, if it's a newer home, most folks want a low maintenance landscape, and they think, low maintenance. Well, it is to a certain extent, depending on the types of plants you put in and how much of it's lawn and how much of it's plants and mulch and that kind of thing. But there really is no such thing as a low maintenance landscape because you're dealing with living plants and they do need some maintenance. They do need some water. They do need some fertilizer. They do need some pruning. Yeah. You got to care for them or the whole thing goes down the tube real quickly.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak, whatever that means.
Well, I was going to use another word, but
I know, and I had to guard my radio show with you. But they want the kind of yard where no weeds grow and the plants take care of themselves. Well, not going to happen in Douglas County, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I then have to explain, like I say, that's not going to work since weeds can grow in the cracks of sidewalks or pavement or anything. Weeds are the toughest thing in the world. I mean,
they love us here.
Oh, yeah, they love it. And they love to come up between sidewalks. Now, you figure you build a sidewalk, you excavate all the ground down, let's say 6 inches, then or more, maybe 8 inches. I'm not sure I've never installed a real sidewalk. But, then you scrape all the stuff out, and then you put sand down, and you compact the sand and all that. Then you pour concrete on top of that, and you think, well, that's good. And then 5 years later, in these cracks, these little green things are growing up between them. Saying, how in the world could that happen when you excavated and you filled it with sand and you killed the weeds and all that? But, hey, they're tough. They could take over the world if you let them.
They probably will.
Yeah, they might. But However, I can design a landscape that is low maintenance, but not no such thing as no maintenance. And so usually I ask the client about the types of plants they like and let them know, you know, how large they'll grow and how fast they'll grow and what they'll look like and the flowers, if they're a flowering type or if just an evergreen type. And, you know, and if their yard is small, you don't want to overwhelm them with a whole lot of stuff, you know. A lot of folks, and I've seen them over the years, they come into the nursery and they want to do this and this and this, and they want those plants and these plants. And then I ask them questions, well, how big is the space that you're going to be landscaping?
Yeah.
Oh, it's about 20 feet long and 10 feet wide. Well, you've got five times as many plants as you'll need for that particular area. Not really five times, but you got
cool,
you
know, yeah.
You got a lot of plants there.
A little over exaggerated.
That is, you know, because they think when they look at these plants, you know, they're small and they're cute,
sure.
And they're neat and
yep.
everything else, but they grow, for crying out
sure.
loud.
Yep.
And if you treat them right, they really grow. Yeah.
Weed-free, hopefully.
Yeah, right, weed-free. But, you know, but the one thing I surely don't do, and I make a reference to this all the way through our discussion as I'm walking around the yard with the client,
mm-hmm.
I don't do the overplant thing at all. I want the homeowner to be able to take care of their new landscaping in a reasonable amount of time. And they'll see as time goes on that these plants, oh, by golly, they are growing. And they look good. And if I would have put in 15 instead of just these five, it would have been a mess. It
would have been crowded out.
And I would have had to pull out half of them or more. And that's dumb.
That's not good.
No, that's how you throw money down the drain there. But there are several design items that require a lot of time. And the major one is a lawn. To, you know, if a person wants a brand new lawn, you have to explain the process very succinctly and with a lot of detail. And usually I write down the steps so that they can follow the steps.
Mm-hmm.
But a lawn, lawns require a lot of preparation, whether it's a seed lawn or a sod lawn. Now, sod lawns are cool simply because they... Yeah, if you got all your soil prep done and it's graded evenly and it's compacted and you've got good soil, you just take that sod and you roll it out and you stand back when you're done and go, wow, there's a green lawn there. And there's lines in between the rolls of sod.
Yeah. Yeah.
But within, 7 to 10 days, those lines disappear. That's how quickly those rolls of grass will set their roots and get down there and start growing. And
nice.
And if you do the preparation correctly, that's what will happen. But one time I was experimenting, I had some sod left over from a job,
mm-hmm.
and the homeowner didn't want it. And there weren't very many, maybe 5-6 rolls of sod. So I took them home to my old house up there on the hill.
The Rose House?
Yeah, the old Rose House where all the millions of roses were. And I thought, I didn't do anything to the ground. I mean, it was mowed and it was ugly and kind of bumpy. And I just rolled the sod out there just to see what happened. No preparation at all.
Right.
I don't know if I fertilized them or not. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And within 10 days, it was gorgeous. I mean, it rooted in through all the stuff that was
Whoa.
There. It rooted in through the existing grass, the weeds, and since I hadn't tilled it or anything, the ground was clay ground, so it was kind of hard. But that sod rooted in. That's how tough that stuff is.
Jeez, that's some good grass, man.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. They grow it up in Silverton. And JB Sod and Seed is the place that we always bought our sod from. And I think over the years we must have laid down hundreds of thousands of square feet of sod.
Man.
And way back when, back in the, I think in the 70s, when New Mercy Hospital was built,
mm-hmm.
We landscaped the New Mercy Hospital.
Oh.
And we had one area that was a big sod area, and it was just, you know, one of those things, and we're laying sod. And it was, and the contractors, the building contractors, were doing the finishing touches on the landscaping. And this one wing, as you pull into the parking lot, there's a wing, I don't know what it is, doctor's offices or whatever. And we had laid the sod in there, and it was probably, 2,000-3,000 feet of sod.
Wow.
And a couple of days later, when we, the next day I didn't see anything, but about 2 days later, and it was summertime, it was pretty warm, and all of a sudden there was this white spot in my sod. And I thought, wow, it's about 5 feet around, and it bleached the grass totally and completely. And I thought, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
And I didn't find out that day. And the next day, that white spot had enlarged even more. And it was one of the workers came out, and I said, do you know anything about this? He said, yeah, that's where we rinsed our paint cans.
Oh, no. Ding dong.
Yeah, my brand new sod, you rinsed your paint cans? Are you nuts?
What are you thinking?
Yeah, what are you thinking? He wasn't. They apologized big time, many times over. Big outfit. I forget which construction company it was, like from Portland or Seattle or something like that.
Well, they don't have grass up there.
No, there's no grass up there. But they paid for the new sod that
we did they?
Oh, yeah. We had to take all that bad stuff out and then kind of purify the earth and, you know, get the earth that was contaminated,
right.
Take that out, and then put new topsoil in and then, you know, redo it. But you can kill it.
No.
Yeah.
I can't say.
No, this is a family show.
Yeah, I you have to remind me about that.
I know. I have to remind you every stinking week. But ground prep is a very time-consuming task if done correctly. And the first step, and this is not what I did in my yard that I was just telling you about, but for a new client, the first step is to kill the wild grass and weeds that are growing there. And usually we would do that with several sprays of Roundup. And I know there's a lot of controversy about if you've ever gotten near Roundup and you got brain cancer, call us and at 899-405 and we'll get you $1 million kind of, you know, ads on the TV, I say. But anyway, we killed all the weeds, and when they're good brown and dead and nothing else is coming up, then you can till it all up. Till it up because it does not affect the ground. It only affects the green weeds and grasses that it hits.
Wow.
You can spray it on bare ground and then a week later go ahead and plant something in there and there's no effect on whatever you plant.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So anyway, we peeled the old stuff out and got the new stuff. I think, it was, 500-600 square feet that was totally demolished by the guys cleaning his paint cans.
Paintbrush.
Oh, golly. And it was, I won't tell you what I was thinking of doing to the guy. But, you know, that's just the beginning of spraying it and getting it clean, getting it ready. And then when it is, you know, all the grass, all the weeds and all that stuff is dead, then you begin the groundwork. And so when the soil is just lumps of soil and rock, you know, you've got to get in there and till it till it's very finely ground up, and you add humus and even old bark mulch that's fine grind bark mulch to give it some air space in between so that when the roots go down, it's not just compacted.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you just can't take a rake and you could, but it doesn't work as well. Take a rake and smooth out some original regular Douglas County clay ground. It has to have some additional nutrition and nutrients.
A little more help.
It needs more help. It's like if you ate spinach every day, you know, what good would it do? You need pork chops with spinach or something like that.
Mix it together.
Yeah, you got to mix it well, and you got your hand on the trigger.
Yeah, we got a break, but go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I'm no. Go ahead, take a break.
All right. More on that.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Weather's phone number, Mr. Mike.
Oh, yeah, 673-4464. If you have a question, please call.
And we are News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, I understand they're really good this year.
Yeah, the Rhino Burgers?
Yeah.
They're kind of tough, though.
Oh, speaking of tough, what's our phone number?
673-4464. If you have a question, please call. We'll get a conversation going, okay?
Have you ever had rhino or any exotic meat like that?
No, just hamburger. That's
yeah.
It. Cows, deer.
Deer, yeah.
Elk.
Yeah, elk. They're just the usual stuff.
Yeah, no rhinos or elephants. They're too tough to skin.
Or alligator.
Or alligator. Oh, goodness. I don't know. I might have had some gator once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a trick thing. You know, somebody had all this stuff at a party.
Oh.
You know, all cut up, little strips of, like, hors d'oeuvres.
Uh-huh.
And I think I ate one. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting taste to it. I think everybody laughs. Yeah, it's alligator.
It tastes like chicken.
Chicken to me. Anyway, I'm talking about sod lawns,
yes,
and grading and stuff like that. Jeez Louise. So if you can, when you're grading your finished grade, if you can, try to put a little slope on it for drainage. In other words, you don't want any dips. Where the water would settle, because then that'll be a weak spot in your sod, and it won't do as well as the rest of it. So sometimes that's very difficult. That's why we till in a lot of extra goodies into the topsoil, so that it has good drainage. So if you do inadvertently create a low spot, at least the water will drain quickly,
mm-hmm,
and it won't kill the sod.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of different jobs, sod jobs, where the grading was insufficient. I put it that way, insufficient. And you could tell just by driving by that they didn't level it correctly.
Oh.
And I know that when they put the sod down, or the grass, whatever, the seed or sod, they were going to have a rough spot. And sure as I'm sitting here, you go by 2 weeks later and have to put in sod, you could see this low spot from the sod. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be, you know, 6 inches low. It can be just an inch or two low, and it's noticeable. And if you don't catch that kind of thing, you're going to have problems down the line. So your grading, your finished grading, it's better. What we used to do in a real flat yard is to mound up slightly the center of the lawn. Let's say the lawn was 20 feet wide and 25 feet long or something like that, and just in the center, 10 foot of the center, it might be an inch higher. The grade might be an inch higher, and float that out to the sides of the lawn, so that when you do lay the sod down, if they do happen to overwater, if there's a sprinkler system on installed and they leave it on too long, the water will drain off.
Yeah.
But you do the opposite, the water don't drain off, it sits there and it rots the roots and kills the sod.
Yep.
And unless you remove the old stuff and then build it back up, you're going to have the same problem.
Help me, I'm drowning.
Yeah, hey, don't do that to me. But, you know, I always tell, when I'm doing these consultations, I always tell the owner what materials to add to the native soil and why, just like my explanation to you just a minute ago. And the better the prep work is, the nicer the lawn is going to be.
Yeah,
it's going to look better, too. And I make sure that they don't plant too many shrubs. That's always the big thing, because folks look at the smaller 1 gallon size shrubs and think, well, shoot, I need 15 of those, or I need 10 of those. And they only got, you know, 7 to 10 lineal feet along the driveway or along the side of their house or their shop or something like that. And as long as they're miniature dwarf that don't grow very fast and don't get very large, that would be okay. And if they kept them pruned and shaped, they'd be okay. But normally they're not.
Right.
Very
right.
Seldom they're not.
They just kind of
let
to their own.
Exactly. So I always make sure to explain. And what I'm saying here to you today is how I'm talking to the client too.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what the issue is. And watering and fertilizing instruction is a very important part of the landscape consultation. Because like I say, and I've said 100 times, most folks overwater their landscaping thinking that they're, you know,
doing this, it a fever.
This is the safari. This is a Sahara Desert, and we've got to water them 3 times a day.
Well, yep.
On a new lawn, you have to because if it's a seed lawn, it has to have the dampness to germinate. And if it's a sod lawn, it has to have the dampness to start that root growth down. But after a week of doing that, you start cutting back, and the normal watering procedure after the grass is up is about a good soaking once a week. And if it gets into the 100 degrees in July and August, maybe 2 soakings a week would be the maximum. But as soon as it started to cool off, mm-hmm. you start cutting back on the water. And that also cuts back on your water bill that
sure.
you're going insane about because it's so high.
But that's a good thing.
Yes, that's a good thing. But and it's the same way with the plants in general. They don't need to be watered every day. And like I said, usually once a week, good soak. That's it. And a good soak doesn't mean 5 minutes with a hose on a plant. In 5 minutes, 5 minutes, you could have 2 gallons of water in the roots there, and the plant would probably float right to the surface and say, "Hey, you're drowning me, man! Quit!
Stop it!
But and like I said, I always stress about the overwatering or over fertilizing. Always go light. You can always add more. It's simple.
Sure. Yep.
You know, you put too much in, you can't take it back out.
Mm-mm.
Especially with fertilizer. You're out there fertilizing,
ooh,
and you got these small plants, and you put a handful of whatever fertilizer you got around there. And then a week later, the plant's dead, brown, and sitting there, and you go,
"What happened?
I just fertilized it. What's the matter with this stupid plant? It's not growing." No, yeah, because you killed it. It's like if I sat you down and said, "Hey, I'm going to give you a steak dinner." And I give you 5 steaks, and I say you got to eat it in 20 minutes.
Ugh.
You know, he wouldn't. It'd be bad for you.
Oh yeah,
bad for you.
Got to have a waste basket around.
Yeah, I know. But all consultations are different because no yard is the same, and each one is unique, and each client is unique as well because they all have different tastes. They all have different, well, this is what I want it to look like 10 years down the road, okay?
Yeah.
You want a screen, you want privacy, or you want to retain your view of the mountains or the river or whatever. You know, you have to take all those things into consideration when you're giving them the list of plants that would fit that particular area.
Area.
And, but, you know, consultations, like I say, are my favorite type of work because there's no shovel. No sweat. I did enough of that for the 50 years that I was still.
Definitely paid your dues.
Yeah, I paid my dues. You know, give me a break here. But like I say, consultations are fun because the people, I did one for a lady here, south of Dillard on Highway 99 this last week. She listens to the show, so she's probably thinking, you didn't tell me that. No, I did.
No.
But initially the call was on pruning her fruit trees.
Oh, okay.
So I went down.
You get a lot of those, don't you? Pruning.
Oh, yeah. And that's good. And people don't understand pruning, too, because, you know.
You're afraid you hurt them.
Yeah. You're going to kill them. No way. It's like cutting your fingernails. You don't, no pain involved. But so I go down there, and there was I forget, some kind of the name escapes me, but it'll probably come to me when I'm driving home. This tree was probably 45 feet tall.
Wow.
And I don't think it ever had been pruned.
Oh,
and she
Lord.
Says, "What do I do with that?" I says, "Well, you gotta cut about 10 or 15 feet out of the top and thin out some of these bigger branches."
How about firewood?
Yeah, exactly. And, but to get it to bear any fruit, you're going to have to bring it down because they're in a place right along the Umpqua River. The soil is great. The moisture in the soil is great. So these trees in her yard have just gone gangbusters over the years and grown just super good, super fast. And she had quite a few trees like that. There was one walnut and that was fairly large. And basically what I told her and her husband is, you got to take some of the tops out and open up the tree and bring the the height down to where maybe it'd be more manageable and you could actually get up and get some of the nuts or some of the fruits or something like that. But she did have a couple of smaller trees that she had planted, and it was easy to describe what you do on them because they're just, you know, 6 feet tall, and say, well, this and this, and nice folks. They were really pleasant people to deal with, and
hopefully they're okay with all this rain.
They're on the river, but they're up probably where their yard and their house is probably 25 feet above the river.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Where
so
the
they're
river,
not, okay.
Consequently, they're not getting flooded or anything like that. But the homeowner nowadays, after I give consultation, they are the people to do all the shovel work. So I try not to overwhelm them or overwork them. But if the yard like needs a drainage system or some earth removal, I'll give them a list of contractors who can do a good job for them. The contractors that I've used over all my years that have been backhoes and the tree guys that have the lift trucks that they can get way the heck up in the top of the tree and trim it down that way rather than trying to climb the stupid tree.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've climbed enough trees.
Oh, man.
One friend of mine, he was not my bookkeeper, but he was a bookkeeper, an accountant, and he lived here in town.
Yeah.
Good guy. I did some work for him. And he said, Mike, I need you to prune a couple of my trees. And I went over and I took a look, and I said, okay. Well, one tree was a hawthorn tree, and I don't know if you know how a hawthorn is.
They're stickery, aren't they?
Yes, they've got these little spines on them like needles.
Yeah.
And I didn't take that into consideration because I was kind of new to the game at that time. So I start climbing his hawthorn trees to top it out. And pretty soon my arms and hands are bleeding from all the punctures of these stupid thorns. But I gritted it out and got it down. And I told him after I was done, I said, Don't call me again, okay? I don't want to do your trees anymore.
Yeah. So you let somebody else do it.
Yeah, it is. Got a break?
Yep. Here we go. And our phone number as we roll into it.
673-4464. Give us a call.
We had lots of time yet.
Yep.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back and go right to our phone call here. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, I got a question about a yard. My yard is in the summer. I love my yard. I thatch it, I reseed it, I peat moss it, and it's like the envy of the neighborhood in the summertime, and it's absolutely gorgeous. This time of year, I live out in Winchester, so I have a lot of oak trees around my property.
Uh-huh.
So during the wintertime, it gets very muddy and murky and mossy, and I'm wondering what I can do for soil amendments, add to it this time of year, maybe till it in and mix it. What would you recommend?
Well, you live in a, excuse me, in a very rainy spot there, there's not much you can do this time of year when it's raining, you know, a week at a time and getting mushy, et cetera.
Right.
What you might try to, is it level? Is it all level?
It's on a gentle slope, but I was thinking of, I got a couple of labs I let out and play, and of course they have made a muddy mess out of things. But I was thinking about adding, even this time of year, adding some kind of soil amendments that I can maybe till in, and just so I can get it kind of raised up and get it prepped up for the springtime, and maybe get some of that mud, you know, that moisture, you know, kind of out of the yard a little bit. And
My best suggestion would be to, you know, if you can put the dog somewhere else to play, that would help it a lot. And in the spring, when it dries out, you might want to put some extra peat moss or fine grind bark mulch in it to kind of and if you cover some of the grass, it won't matter because that grass will grow right up through it, and that may help to harden it up a little bit. But in the condition that it's in now, that's about the only thing I can think of that might help you out. And you might have to do it, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row until it gets to the point where you can actually walk on it.
Right. Yeah. It gets a little soft because, like I said, there's a lot of moisture in those oak trees. Don't let a lot of shade in, obviously, this time of year. And it's nice in the summer because they don't let a lot of sun in. So my yard stays absolutely nice and beautiful and green and lush and wonderful.
Now, when the leaves drop from the oak trees, do you clean them up right away or what?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I get my big blower out and go to town on everything.
Okay. Well, that's a plus as well. But the only thing I can think of is adding some fine grind bark mulch or old sawdust that's fine grind or peat moss or something like that, and just scatter it uniformly over the entire lawn. And you might have to do it 2 or 3 times, and not all at once, but do it once and see how it lasts the next year, and then you may have to do it again. And you've aerated it, you said, and thatched it.
Well, I thatch in the spring because the moss is very heavy,
right?
And then I reseed everything, and I peat moss over the top of everything.
Okay. Well, have you ever aerated?
I don't aerate, but every 3 or 4 years.
Well, you know, next time you aerate and you poke all those holes in your lawn, it would be that'd be a great time to mow the lawn very short, aerate it, and then put the sawdust or peat moss or whatever material you choose and spread it on there fairly thickly, maybe a quarter of an inch, something like that, and let that cipher down into the holes.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. I have actually a peat moss roller and stuff that I use and stuff. So,
good.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, gentlemen, have a good day.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, you bet. Bye-bye.
All righty, bye. Okay, we're back, and hopefully with more phone calls.
Well, 673-4464. It's raining out. You might as well call.
Yeah, you can't go outside.
Well, you could. But,
what's
the point, huh? But I'm talking about, giving consultations and advice to folks that call me up. And when they, started to say in the other segment, when the homeowner is wants his a new drainage system or some earth removal, maybe wants to take a cut bank and make a planter out of it or something like that, I give them a list of contractors who can do a good job for them. Also, I can make myself available to direct any excavation work. Excuse me, we got another call.
We do. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike. Hey,
hello.
You were talking about trees earlier and cutting them down pretty heavy to get the fruit, right? So how many years, if we did that and cut them down really high and tight, how long would it take us to get fruit from it? When would they bear fruit?
I don't know if I can answer that.
Kind of depends on the shape of the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, which trees are you? What types of trees are you talking about right now?
Well, it's a fruit. I'm afraid to tell you, but it's a plum tree that's got out of control. But the plums are super good.
Uh-huh.
They're like a red plum, and they're so good. But the tree has been neglected for so many years that it's really tall and just needs a really good haircut. And so I was thinking if I give it a super, it's probably, I bet it's 20, 25 feet high.
Wow.
And so I need to really give it a good haircut. But I wondered if I did that, if when I might get fruit from it again.
Well, I think that's the best thing you could do to it is maybe cut it in half and thin it out so the branches that you have, that you leave, they will be the new bearing branches. And it'll be a whole lot simpler and easier for you, and the tree will be healthier for having you do
it. Yeah, I'd like to get them lower, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a couple years, probably not the next year, but maybe a couple of years after the cut?
I would prune this. Well, let's see, how tall is it again?
It's about 25 feet high.
It's really
out of control.
I would prune it this winter and get the pruning started. And then once the major pruning is done, then it's a real simple thing about pruning the non-bearing branches, and it's not so tall, and you could probably do it with your own ladder.
Right, suckers that come out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're sure going to give it a try. I hope it bears again. I don't want to kill it, but you've said earlier in some of your previous shows that you can't kill a plum tree.
No, you can't. you can cut it off at the bottom and it would come back, for crying out loud. I've done it. I know.
Right. I'll give her a try and see if we can get some fruit out of it in a couple of years.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
All righty. Thank you. All righty. There we go. The phone number, Mike.
673-4464 is the phone number. Any kind of question that has to do with your yard, I can probably give you an answer. And it may even be correct.
Or at least 50%. No.
At least 50-50, yeah, right. No, I've done so many jobs over the 50-year period I was in business that I think everything that, there were so many new things I learned by doing and going, oh, my gosh, I made a mistake, or, oh, wow, that's perfect. It worked really well.
Yeah.
And so I tended to go to the perfect things so that I wouldn't forget. But I have pruned trees so heavily that my wife said, what'd you do, kill that tree? I said, no, I just made it so we can reach the apples or reach the fruit. And, and she didn't believe me until the new leaves came on and the new branches came on. And then the fruit was all about head high. So all you had to do is reach up and pick it off. So you keep it that way and it's easy. And you thin out all the 1,000 other little branches that don't bear fruit. And you got a great producing fruit tree. Yeah, so that's how that goes.
And it didn't look like it. At first, it doesn't.
Well,
it
looks like. Well, my neighbors would know. What do you do to his yard now, man? But
so, how could they get a hold of you if you want a consult?
Oh yeah, if you want a consultation, I take phone calls at my house, and it's 679-4100, and we got an answering machine, and if I'm out there and we get a phone call, I'll return it and go give you a consultation or some help in your yard some way, but not physically, just mentally. I'm a mental landscaper now.
You got a lot of that.
I know.
Okay. Break time again.
Okay. Thanks for calls.
And our number?
673-4464.
And we are News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Here we are in the home stretch already, Mike.
Home stretch. How come time goes by so fast?
I don't know. Those couple of phone calls really.
I need a four-hour show. I don't know. I was starting in the last segment before the phone rang. I was talking about, or starting to talk about, drainage systems and earth removal for clients. So I give them, like I said, a list of contractors who can do a good job for them. These are people that I use for the last 50 years. And also I can make myself available to direct any excavation work, and I would charge for, you know, the client for my time while I supervise. But it has to be done correctly or the project will not work properly. And you just don't dig a hole and put gravel in it and call it good. The grade is important. I mean, there's a lot of small things that you have to be aware of to make that kind of thing work.
I'm not chuckling at your advice. I'm just thinking of how Dad would have done it.
Yeah. Well, and this is not, you know, something that can be skimmed on.
No.
I mean, you have to really pay attention and get it correctly, or you've wasted your money. And the contractors I've worked with are very good at what they do, and they charge accordingly, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you have someone who does shoddy work, you'll see the results down the road, which can cause multiple expensive corrections.
Oh.
And that's not fun.
That's nasty.
So you do it right the first time, and this is work that can be done when the ground is dry and not when it's raining. Don't do it when it's like raining, soggy, and all that kind of stuff, because it'll be just
like a day to day.
Yeah, it'd be just a stinking mess. I mean, we're talking, you know, April to October is a time frame for that. And the same attention is needed when building like a retaining wall against a slope. You want to build a retaining wall, and then you want to plant some things behind the retaining wall. Step one, you know, is excavation for the drainage underneath the retaining wall and then behind the retaining wall. And then you can fill the back end of that with like 2-inch drain rock, and then put some soil on top of maybe a foot of soil on top of the drain rock, so that you got proper drainage going in the right direction that gets, you know, doesn't flood your patio. It goes off to the side, doesn't flood your neighbor either. You know, you don't want to make your neighbor hostile towards your work. So, but you below the base of the wall to the, you want to have that drain rock, so any excess water you want it away. And when the wall is built and more drain rock behind the wall, you can use also perf pipe to make sure that you get all the water out of there. But once the drain system is in place, like I say, you can add your planting mix, your topsoil, and plant what you like behind the wall. I did it at my place on a hillside. Excuse me, on a hillside that comes down behind my house.
And it's still working, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't had a problem with it. It's about 100 feet long, and it's curved. It's a big, like, curve, like a half-moon curve, and it's about 4 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And we filled that whole back end, and we couldn't get a machine back there, so it was all done by wheelbarrows and shovels.
Oh, boy.
And me and Brother Steve, we just worked on it for quite some time.
The labor of love.
It was a labor of love, and I thought during the middle of this labor of love, I thought, I shouldn't have loved this so much.
I'll bet.
Yeah. But I've got some plants behind it. I've no large trees. I do have some Japanese maples in there that are only going to get, you know, I keep them pruned to about 4 feet, 5 feet maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be damaging to the wall. They're not going to push, their root systems won't push the wall over, because the blocks we use, they're interlocking.
Oh, okay.
They just won't slide off. They're
kind of like a puzzle.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle, and it just locks together. And it takes longer to put them in. You got to do it correctly. But once they're in, they're in. And they're more expensive than a rick.
But it's well worth it.
Yeah. Because, like I said, this wall is 4 feet tall, and I've got a lot of my bonsai collection in pots on top of it. But right behind that, the hill goes up long ways, maybe 1,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's all timber and stuff up that way. So, but I haven't had a problem with it in all the time it's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good, and it's easy, and there's no maintenance. No maintenance on that wall, baby.
Maintenance free, mama.
And it's gravel at the base, so we can walk around. No muddy feet, nothing like that. And in a consultation, like I say, I make a list for the client of what types of plants, of course, would do well and not outgrow their space. A plant that grows large would eventually damage a wall if they did the wall, like the root system pushing the wall over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like the lady that called with the plum tree. That plum tree would just go, ha, watch this. I had a plum tree at my old house in Roseburg. They planted it right next to the front steps.
Yeah.
And, when we moved in, the plum tree was, 25 feet tall and trunk about 12 inches in diameter. But it had raised the sidewalk. The roots had grown underneath the sidewalk and had raised it about 4 inches, 5 inches. Yeah.
That's a pretty good gap.
Yeah, that's a pretty good gap. But it wasn't. It didn't encumber our ingress or egress, but still, it looked ugly. And I thought, why would anybody plant a tree right next to a sidewalk like that?
Another ding dong.
Yeah, but it was probably a small teeny tree.
Well,
when they planted it.
Yeah,
or maybe it was just a seed because these folks had lived there, I don't know, 40, 50 years for crying out loud before they moved away.
Yeah.
So, eventually that puppy came down.
Oh,
yeah. Well, in the spring, it's a plum tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the spring, and it's right there at our front door, there'd be 10,000 bees in there, and you'd have to walk by these 10,000 bees to get into the front door.
Hazardous.
Yeah. And then, of course, the flowers were beautiful, and the tree was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then when the plums started dropping, they dropped on the porch, they dropped on the sidewalk.
Oh, what a mess.
Yeah, it was. And the more bees came and ate the stuff that dropped on the ground.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Good pickings.
Yeah, good pickings. Are we done?
We are done, done,
How
done.
How did we get done? Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something.
All right. We'll catch you next Wednesday, Mike.
Yes, sir. We'll all be here.
Coming up next, the Afternoon Report with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.